All right. Great song. Feel like traveling home. You never know when that homecoming's gonna be, do we? Praise God, when we're in the hands of God, it's all worthwhile. It really is. This morning we're gonna be looking at respecting God's name, or revering God's name. That is the seventh verse, the third commandment that God has given us and gave Israel back on Mount Sinai. And I'm going to be reading, starting with verse 1 again to get all of this in, and I'll read down to verse 7 so that keeps us fresh in our mind and understanding how God is leading up to each one of these this morning. So beginning with verse 1, then God spoke all of these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol or any image of what is in heaven and above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations, those who hate me. Verse 6. But showing loving kindness to the thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. And in verse 7, the verse we will be looking at this morning, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. That is a serious offense of taking God's name in vain. And a person who does that will not go unpunished. So, we have been studying some of the truths of the gospel in the Old Testament as a dynamic work of God's salvation that we see has unfolded throughout history. And it started in Genesis, and it goes through all the way through Revelation. So we've been studying the Gospels in the Old Testament in this way. And this being in the Old Testament, we need to be reminded often of God's commandments still holds true today. And we are to honor those and respect those and practice those and keep those dear to our hearts. So, we are looking at the Ten Commandments, and today we examine the third commandment. So, first of all, let's look at God's name is to be honored, or respected, or keep in reverence. And that's in verse 7. And this is the third commandment given to us by the one holy true God. And again, this verse says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless or unpunished who takes his name in vain. So, if you and I, I want us to truly understand this, the significance and importance of what is being said here in this verse. If you and I believe in God who created all things, revealed himself as the I Am. When God spoke to Moses and he, in front of the burning bush, he did not, it was a big glow, probably red and probably radiating the glory of God. God shows up in many different forms, in clouds and fire, burning bushes and things like that. He told Moses to take off his shoes because he was standing on hallowed ground, and he had a message for Moses to go to Egypt. Moses wanted to know, well, who am I going to tell him sent me to tell Pharaoh to let my people go? And God said, you tell him, I am that I am. And that's all he needed to say. Because Pharaoh and all the people, whether Egypt or other nations, knew of God. They just didn't worship God, the true living God of Israel and the God that we worship. But they knew who God was. And when Moses said, God said, I am that I am, Pharaoh understood, but his heart was hardened and therefore would not reveal or give in to what Moses was revealing or telling him. So then alone he is to be worshiped. For everlasting Almighty God teaches the manner in which he is to be worshiped, and that his name is to be revered and honored in every aspect of life. So when we look at the ancient Hebrews and the teaching of the Old Testament, when you read about the scribes and those who pen the words and so forth in the holy scrolls and so forth, the scribes, they took this commandment so serious that whenever they wrote God's name, they would wash their hands before every transcribing word. They would wash their hands because they took the name of God so seriously, and they respected that they did not want to do anything to disclaim the name of Jesus. And after 200 AD, I believe that's what it was, the Jews would not even speak God's name for the fear of breaking the third commandment. That's how serious they took it. That's how serious that we should take the name of God. And what a contrast today. You think about it. What a contrast today that our society, where they use the OMG word, is habitually used in text or in words by people, and used in TV and movies so often that, you know, it will sicken your heart to hear God's name used that way. And that word OMG means, oh my God. You hear it all the time on the TV or somebody using that word and expression. It's an expression of a surprise in their own life or mind, or expression of using it. But it's expression, you know, I don't even like to use as an illustration myself. And some other words are saying, golly, or gee, oh my gosh, doggone. You've heard those words, right? I've had so many people, colleagues of mine, to use the word gosh or golly, and I would stop them. I said, hey, go look that word up so you'll understand why you should not be using that word. And they said, what does it mean? Well, go look it up. It'll have more meaning if you look it up than if I tell you what it means. So they would look it up and come back and say, oh, my goodness, I didn't understand that word I was using, and that's what it meant. It's a filler word for God, and we should not use it any other way except when we are praying or when we're reading God's word, but not in any context of golly or gee or oh my gosh or oh my God. We should not do that. No one should, Christian or non-Christian. So God's choice of Hebrew words in this commandment is very important in helping us to understand this command. So this morning, I want to explain some of the words used in this verse so we'll have a better understanding of what it means when God says, do not use my name in vain. So, first of all, the Hebrew word NASA, it's spelled the same way as National Aeronautical Space Administration. But NASA is translated, you shall not take. And that means to lift up or say. Means to, it's widely used to describe willful misuse or manipulation of an item or an ideal. That's what that word in Hebrew means, NASA. And it means to take. You shall not take. So it's used both figuratively or literally. It's the idea of this. Do not lift up. Do not lift up God's name inappropriately. Do not misuse God's name. So secondly, the Hebrew word for name, as we see, is Shem. Shem is another word used for in the Bible for Noah's son, Shem. But it's used and it means reputation or fame or glory. Name in the Old Testament included the description of a character and set one person apart from another. So when you look at this verse and break it down as the scriptures interpret it, it gives us that true meaning of the importance of how we should use the name of God or not use it in conversation. So the word Shem also suggests something high or elevated, and implying that God's name is majestic, it's excellent. I was reading in Psalms, I found this verse here, and it proclaims that truth as well. Psalms 8, chapter 8, verse 9 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I say that again. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the world. See, that's a worship. That's a praise. That's recognizing God for who he is and how we should use his name majestically in praise and in worship and adoration in all the ways. That's how God wants his name to be used. It's in reverence and respect of the holiness and the sovereignty of God. That's how we are to use his name. And then thirdly, misusing the name of God is clarified by the final phrase, in vain. Translated from the Hebrew word, shah. And shah is the noun meaning emptiness or nothingness or vanity, or emptiness of speech, lying or worthlessness. That's what that word means, in vain. So we are to esteem or honor his name as we reverence or glorify his holy name, God himself. So to do any less than take his name in vain, we should not do that other than through praise and worship to his holy name. Not only is God's name is to be honored, God's name means salvation. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And God's name means salvation. So this commandment contains far more than warning and occasionally what I would call slip of the tongue. It does. And remembering the context of God giving in the Ten Commandments, Yahweh is the one and only God who created the earth, the God who revealed himself mightily to Israel as their saving God. And that's why he says, I am who I am, as Moses confronted Pharaoh to let my people go. It wasn't a suggestion to Pharaoh, it was command, let my people go. And Yahweh, or Jehovah, when you see in the Old Testament the Lord in all capital letters, you know that stands for God Almighty. It stands for Yahweh and Jehovah. And another emphasis on the word Yahweh that was used in the sacrifice and atonement each year, called the Holy of Holies. The Israelites would not use or say the word Yahweh. And it was a form of worship as they stood before the priest and offered up their sins by the priest. Him himself had to make sacrifice for himself to Yahweh or Jehovah before he offered up sins or sacrifices for the children of Israel. That name was so sacred and holy to them that they would only say it at that moment at the Holy of Holies, the name Yahweh. Because, as the scripture said a while ago, because they knew of his loving kindness, the loving kindness that we also receive from God through his grace, even though we're in the New Testament heir of God's creation, we are to use God's name in reverence as well. So, I want to give two examples in the Old Testament of this as well. In Psalms 18:46, it says, the Lord, and then there you see on the screen, the Lord, in capitalized words, it means Yahweh or Jehovah, lives, and blessed be my rock. Christ is our cornerstone. He's our rock. And Jesus said, on this rock I will what? Build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. So Christ is the rock of our salvation. And let the God, Elohim is another word for God. And that means that my salvation is to be exalted. So, Elohim is the first name used of God in the Bible. It's used over 2,300 times. Wow, that's a lot of times, isn't it? Elohim used that many times. And the shortened form of this verse is El, E-L. And it's used an additional 200 times. So the Lord, capital letters, Yahweh is the God of my salvation, your salvation. He is our salvation. And any reference to God should be reverent and respectful because it is God who saves. He saved you, he saved me. And that's why John 3:16 says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to save us from our sins. We've all come short of the glory of God, but yet, while we were yet sinning, God died for us. He sent his Son. Then the second example of this saving rock being Jesus Christ, or God being the rock of our salvation. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, Isaiah says, behold, God, El, use that word Elohim a while ago, El, is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh, the form of Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. See how important the word God, Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh, is our salvation. From the very beginning to the end, he is. So the various names which God uses throughout Scripture are all to be reverent because He is the one who saves us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you know, John 14:6 says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus saves. So humbly calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believing everything that He is and the proof of the gift of God is our saving faith. So those who have received such faith, and that includes you and me, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. So Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's that simple, isn't it? It's believing. But God draws us near to Him, and when He draws us near by the power and the wooing of the Holy Spirit, that's when we recognize that we call upon His name, confess and repent of our sins, and He forgives us of our sins. So everyone who calls upon His name would be saved. Okay, thirdly, believe, exalt God's name. Believers exalt God's name, not defame. And this is verse 7. So this third commandment, or this third part, or last part, in vain, is not positive, not so positive, rather, because it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And it's just as important for believers not to defame God's name, but to exalt His holy name. You know, this verse here, He's holy. It says, because God is holy, magnificent, majestic, all-powerful and wise, sovereign, merciful, just, righteous, gracious, and loving. You know, I could go on and on and on, trying to think of words to describe the character of God. This God deserves our highest respect and our humble obedience. You know, I could probably preach on this verse right here for a whole week, for a month, really, because there's so much here. He deserves it. You know, it would do us well to worship God through Scripture. You know, when you turn in your in the Word of God and you start reading it, we begin our worship right there because the Word of God was written, it was inspired, God breathed. So anywhere we turn into the Scriptures, we begin our worship of God, knowing that God saves. He is our Savior, He is our rock, He is our salvation. He is our fortress, and He gives us strength in time of need. According to Psalm 46, He is our refuge and our strength, a very help in time of need. So when we look at this God, this God deserves our highest respect and our humble obedience. It would do us well to worship God every time we turn up and read in our Bibles, our devotions and things. Another way to properly exalt God is to meditate on the names of God which reveal to us His character. Now, the Bible says that we are made in the image of God. So that means His character. Everything that describes how magnificent God is in His sovereignty and His holiness and His righteousness. Everything about God is described here in the Word. That's who we are to mimic. That is the way our lives should be an example of believing in God in His holiness. See, we need to take the time to do this every day, every time we get up in the morning. See, God inhabits the praise of His people, and meditating on His person and His perfect character causes us to grow in our faith, and it helps us to grow in our worship together. When we come together every Sunday morning, we should be growing in our faith and in our worship. We should be more in tune with God as we study and read each day in our devotions, knowing who God is. And when we come together, you know, we can share what God has done in our life that week. So that is a wonderful thing for us to do. And then thirdly, discipling ourselves in the time with God gives His priority in our lives as we acknowledge who He is, and He helps us to live consciously before God. And we are to always living before the very presence and face of God. Even the prophets, when you read in the Old Testament, like Elijah, and as he begins some of his chapters, he says, "Behold, as I stand in the presence of God." So you and I, each day when we start our devotion, we should say, "As I stand in the presence of God, who is holy and righteous." Approaching Him with reverence, humble our spirit, causes us to yield fully. I actually surrender ourselves to Him fully, His will, for us to know Him much better. So each day, as we spend our time with our family, our spouses, our loved ones, we get to know them more and more, don't we? That's the way it is with God. The more time we spend with Him, the more we get to know Him and reverence His holy, His name. So as we do that, God will hallow or honor His name through us, allowing Christ or God to live their lives through us. So as we close this morning, our God deserves the highest respect, reverence, obedience, and our service. According to Romans chapter 12, that is our reasonable service, isn't it? To offer ourselves as living servants to Him. See, He is our gracious and loving Father. He is our Savior, but He is also the sovereign, majestic God of all the universe, of all creation. And He must be esteemed above all, as such as those whom He has graciously saved. And that is, you know, you and I are included in that. If we claim the name of Jesus and accepted Him as our personal Savior, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There are so many scriptures that tells us who God is, and that He is the rock of our salvation. He is our fortress. He is our strength. He is our peace. He is our comforter. There's so many names given for God. Elohim and El Shaddai. Jehovah. Lord God Almighty. And they are those precious names of our Heavenly Father, our God, our Creator. We'll be blessed when we honor His name. And I don't know about you, but when I hear it misused, boy, I just want to walk up to that person and say, you know, you're talking about my God, and you're talking to Him in a profound way, and you are to reference His name. We need to be bold in our walk with the Lord and let people know where we stand, that we might honor God and not be ashamed, as Paul says, of the gospel, because He is our salvation. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise Your holy name this morning. We thank You that You give us commandments as we studied this morning. That way we know who you are and who we are to give a witness to others who claim the name of Jesus, and those that do not know you personally yet. Lord, by our witness and our testimony, they will know that we stand strong in our faith and we trust you. And Lord, by our example, as your scripture gives us examples of that as well, of our salvation. We need to thank you each day for the salvation you have given us. It keeps us in line with you, and it keeps us knowing that you love us so much, and that there's nothing in this world that you won't do for us when we trust you and we live up to the commandments that you have given us. You will bless us through your name. Anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you personally, I pray this morning that they would take that step. Confess your name as Lord and Savior. And those listening as well, Lord, maybe each and every one of us need to renew our relationship, renew our faith in you each day, which will strengthen us and give us that encouragement and that hope that so many need to have in the world itself. We have an awesome responsibility as Christians to proclaim your name and share your name to those that don't know you. Lord, bless this invitation. It is your invitation. Our responsibility is to respond to it as your Holy Spirit speaks to us and leads us in that decision. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning we're going to be singing.